Good morning. Our first reading scripture lesson will be from Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Our next scripture lesson is from Galatians 3, 26 through 29. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
So as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today is one of my favorite days of the year because it means that the long wait is over and we finally get back to watching football. Who can tell me, how does one find their way onto an NFL team?
Practice.
Okay, all right, good. If Arthur Weiss was here, he could tell us. He said a few players actually make it up to that level. But you get drafted, right? There's this big event that used to happen in New York City and now happens all over the place called the draft, where your name gets called and you walk across the stage and you hold up a jersey along with the commissioner of the NFL. But it's the culmination of years and years of work, hard work, sacrifice. This is these guys' jobs, right? And they work very hard at it. But only a select few make it into the NFL. Only 53 players per team on the active squad, which when you think about the number of colleges and the number of players that there are, that's a very few number altogether. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Same way,
right?
Hey.
Practice, right? And only an elite few get to stand on the stage and sing or play an instrument at Carnegie Hall. But it takes a lot of work to get there. There are very few things in this world that are truly great that happen because someone else decided they would happen to us. One of the most amazing things is something that we do right here in the church, that we don't choose to do, but that changes our lives and makes us different forever. Anyone want to guess what that is? Baptism, right? We celebrated baptism last week with Scott and the Tracy family. Every Sunday, we have the font sitting up here in a place where everyone can see it. Now, you may not take much notice of it most Sundays, but it's always there as a reminder that we are sitting here because God has chosen us, because God has placed us here. And the mark of that choosing is in baptism. Right? Last week I held Scott and I said these words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then, using a little more water, I marked the cross on Scott's forehead, which is not something that you can usually see unless you are a parent and you're standing right there watching. And I say, "Scott," or whoever's name it is that's being baptized on that particular day, "you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." And when we say forever, we mean forever. Not just for today, Not just when the water has been absorbed into the skin or has been wiped off. Not just as long as I do the right thing. Not just as long as I live a sinless and blameless life, because, well, that wouldn't last even as long as the water on the head, right? Forever. In this case, forever means exactly that. Not just until you go off to college, not just until you retire, not just until you die, but forever. Forever. And then, one of my favorite parts of the liturgy is the reminder to all of us that all who have been baptized have received a ministry from the Holy Spirit. And this is the place where our baptism matters in terms of the living of our lives. What we believe, at least we stand together and profess our belief in this, is that as people who are baptized, that we have received a ministry from the Holy Spirit. That as a result of this mysterious process that Paul writes about in his letter to the Romans and then later to the Galatians, that we actually physically die with Christ and are raised to new life with Christ. And that new life actually has some substance to it. We don't just get dunked or sprinkled or poured or whatever it is that we happen to do in our particular tradition. For us, most of the time, it's sprinkling, although I've been in a Reformed church before where they pulled one of those giant horse troughs in, and some teenagers were being baptized for the first time. And so, we've filled that, you know what I'm talking about, right? Those giant bathtub-looking big plastic things. And we filled it up out of the hose so it was nice and cold, and then held them underwater for a little while. Yeah, it feels like you're actually dying under there. And, well, you are. Your core body temperature is lowering. You're deprived of oxygen. So that when you finally come out of the water, you take this shockingly deep breath in. And the reason for that is, when you take that sharp breath in, it's like you're breathing for the first time in this new life that you have been given by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says, in baptism, we actually put on Christ, as if Christ is a set of clothes that we put on. I had a youth ministry colleague once who described this process to the students that she was working with as being Jesus with skin on, as if Jesus were the outer layer of skin that was on your body, and when you walked around, when people saw you, they didn't see you, but they saw Jesus instead. This is the beginning of a four-part series on what it is to be the church. We are the church. And when I've used that terminology with folks, sometimes there's some confusion about what that means. What does it mean to actually be the church? Well, for starters, being the church involves living our baptism. It involves taking this reality seriously that God has chosen us, that God has loved us, that God has given us His life to put on, the life of Christ, and that God has given us a calling, a ministry, some way to live out our lives in such a way that the world sees us practicing that vocation. You've heard that word before, vocation, literally from the Latin vocare, which means to call. Just an aside to the teens and young kids with us today, there used to be this thing that you would talk on called a telephone, and you would actually call another person, and they would pick it up and actually speak through the phone. I know this seems like a foreign concept to our teenagers today. But when you actually physically dial that first 7 and now 10-digit number to call another person, and they pick up the phone and they answer. I want, when you hear the word vocation, that to be the image that comes to your mind, that God is calling and God wants you not to let it go to voicemail, to just fill up so that no one else can leave a message, but instead to answer that call and to do what the instructions say. Now, I don't know what it is for you. Only you can answer that question. Together, talking with other fellow Christians, we can discern what that's all about. Cheryl, in her class on whispers, sacred echoes, we talked about the way that God sometimes whispers to us in our own heads, but sometimes God whispers to us through the voice of other people. But know this, and trust this, that God has called you. If you are sitting here today and you remember that you are baptized, then know that God has called you. No, you are not the only person, the only Christian in the world without a calling. You have one. Maybe it would be appropriate for us just to pause at this time in our worship service. And maybe whatever style is best for you, if it involves turning to the person next to you and talking for a couple of minutes, or if it involves kind of closing your eyes and silently meditating to yourself, whatever it is, spend a few moments talking with someone else or with yourself or with God about what that calling is. We're going to spend a couple of minutes doing that, and then, well, I'll tell you what we'll do next after that. All right, so your 2 minutes starts now. All right, so hopefully you've had an opportunity to reflect on your own or with another person about what your calling might be, what that vocation might be. Maybe you're still searching that out. And that's okay. Sometimes it takes a while for us to actually hear that call. Sometimes our ringer is just set down too low. But that's okay. My prayer for us is that as we live out our lives as baptized Christians, as people who have put on Christ, that we will live into whatever that calling is, and use those gifts that we have been given to their fullest. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the way that the Holy Spirit works in our world and the way that the Holy Spirit works in us to manifest these gifts that bring about this calling in our lives that takes our Christianity from being spectators of what God has happening to actually suiting up and going out on the field and joining God in what God is doing in our world. But I promised you that I was going to have you do something. And so this is highly experimental. I've never done this with any congregation before. I'm really hoping it doesn't fail. So you're going to have to really, really be exuberant about this, okay? I'm going to count to three. And then I want you to shout what your vocation is. I want you to shout what your calling is. Hopefully we'll fill this entire room with a joyful noise. All right, ready? I'm going to turn off my microphone so I don't blow it out here. All right? Done. I don't know if we picked that up on the recording or not for the folks at home. All right. Rich has his thumbs up. Yes. All right. So whatever it is that you just shouted, do that with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Live your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.